This is the regular Security Committee meeting, November 3rd, 2022, at 10 a.m. This will be held via Zoom. According to state statute by the governor, that it would be detrimental to everybody's health. So we're going to continue with this Zoom meeting. Amelia, I'm going to move to calling the meeting to order. I already talked about considering the findings or result COVID-19 emergency, and we talked about the authorization that does the teleconference. So I'm going to move on to item three, which is public comment. Do you have any hands or questions, Amelia?
I do, John Sullivan.
Yes, please.
Mr. Chairman, can we talk about the cameras for gardens on the camera strategy item number five?
Or do you want me to?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we'll include that there.
Thank you.
All right, I'm just making a note.
Very good, thank you.
Okay, Amelia, moving on to security monthly updates. I believe this will be Kelly.
Yes, with me now.
Yes, good morning. We'll start with the operations updates. Currently, we have 8 full-time gate officers and 4 patrol officers. The sergeant position is currently frozen. Unfortunately, we had a person not complete our training after 3 days. He decided this wasn't the job for him, and he was going to take one of our part-time gate officer positions. So unfortunately, we still have our 2 part-time gate officer positions open, and we're actively recruiting for that. We're still utilizing 2 ABA contract security officers, mainly for vacation and relief. As far as patrol not covered this year, as of this morning, we're at 405 hours in 2022. And that is most likely, that's been caused by COVID, no overtime allowed to fill these patrol shifts. Our safety center repair, we have a meeting today, Mike and I, at 1:30 with a possible new contractor that might be able to accomplices. Did you want to say anything?
Well, yeah, that's their Sourcewell, which is like an NJPA. It's a list of companies that have been pre-vetted for use for public agencies. And I had some discussion last week with Sourcewell representative, and apparently there are contractors that have been pre-vetted. So we're going to see if there's any possibility of being able to select a pre-vetted contractor based on our scope of work and our needs. So we're going to have that discussion today.
So if I can just follow up with that briefly, it sounds like a good idea. Then I guess the question would be, none of our requirements change. It's just we have, for lack of me having any command over the English language, an Angie's List type of contractors we can go to have them bid on the work, or not even bid on it. Just here's where it's at. Can they do it or not?
Yeah. I mean, it's really extending our reach for potential contractors that may be interested in this project. We require that they be DIR certified. So they have to be able to do public works projects. And so it's really tough for the lower amount of work for them to have those requirements. So we're hoping that we can find some additional potential contractors then. And then I believe they probably would supply some type of a bid based on our scope of work.
Okay, perfect. No, that makes all the sense in the world. Thank you. Continue on, Kelly, sorry.
No problem. Moving on to Rancho Murrieta Association activity. I met with Director Smith of Compliance, and there's some concerns that we have, and I'll go through them one at a time here. First item on the bid was the dog off leash program, dogs off leash citations. I had our compliance meeting yesterday, and they're very content, as you'll see when we get to the slides later on, of our enforcing of the dog off leash policy. Our stop sign violations are increasingly up, as well as our speeding citations. One thing the compliance committee suggested, and then we'll take to heart, is that they like the amount of, because of the amount of citations we're writing for stop sign violations, they think that it'd be a good idea if we had them on videotape. And I'm not opposed to that. We just don't have one. I think we were provided one in the past, and I can't find it anywhere. Another option might be to have a dash cam installed in our vehicles. That might help it as well. And I said, yes, I agree with that. So it's just funding and going forward with that. I totally agree with that. But yeah, we are definitely increasing our citations. More people are fighting them. And it just kind of like takes the wind out of the sail when we have it on video. So I'm not
right. So Kelly, I'm just going back into my memory banks. I was on the RMA board when we instituted the videotapes. And I don't know if CSD was actually given one. I know they were physically lent one. So we may not actually be in ownership of one. So I would stop hunting. Maybe the contractor, when he tears the walls apart, will find it. But so let me ask you this. Does RMA compliance right now, when they do the stop signs, are they videotaping?
Correct. They do. They use a video. They said they would still take our citations, and it's not a problem if we don't.
Yeah. No. So I get all that. So then what I would ask for the follow-up is we just get whatever the specs are that their video is, and we just replicate that. So there's no confusion. Sure. And then it's going to be one of those, once we determine what it is, yeah, who's going to buy it. We can figure out those things down the road a little bit, but if they're using one, then just like the LiDAR guns, they're the exact same.
Right.
We stay consistent with what the equipment is.
Right. So, and like I said, I had no issue with that. And they're very pleased with the amount of enforcement that we're doing on all levels. The other issue I spoke with Director Smith is the age of consent for guests into the community. And we'll talk about that when we get to our big incidents of note. It's kind of related to that, but I'll go ahead and say that there is nothing in the RMA policy that says we have to, that you can't allow someone into the community. For example, if you're a family, you live in the South, and you have a 15-year-old or 16-year-old who's on your list and authorized to come and go, there's nothing that says that she can't have her friends called in at the community. So that's one issue that we looked at, and we made sure that, yeah, there is no age policy. And if RMA wants to change that, of course, we'll enforce it. However, what a parent can do is that you can put a special note saying, hey, only people 18 or over, or only these two people are allowed to call in their people. That's something a parent or guardian can do, and we'll follow those rules. But as far as the policy goes, and you'll see later on when I talk about it, that's the policy and that's what we enforce. So we did talk about that extensively with the age of consent. And if RMA one day wants to change that, then of course we'll comply with whatever they want.
But that makes sense, Kelly, because the policy has been in place for decades. It is very common that, especially because of where we live, we have a lot of teenagers inviting other teenagers. Historically, they're high schoolers. Right. That come in predominantly, I'll pick on PG. Those are the kids that come in. Some are on the permanent guest list. Now, how they got there, was it the juvenile? But at the end of the day, much like any of the other RMA rules, it goes back to the homeowner is responsible, despite what the children do or what have you. So I agree, if it's an issue for RMA, then yeah, they just have to go back through their process of governing docs and update it. Thank you.
Right. And then the other issue is we got a lot of complaints, hostility, if you will, about, had a resident contact me and saying that our gate officers are letting all these Amazon people in, delivery people, without verifying who they are. And that, we go back to the RMA policy that says if someone's a delivery person, the policy is to go to their RMA screen take their license plate number, put that attach their license plate number to the address they're going to, and that and that's all that's required. However, this person says, well, she's going to get her posse, her neighbors, and they're going to attempt to get through the gate with fake packages to test the guards to see if they're really letting everybody in or not. And I told her, I go, we take it kind of at word, the gate officers take it at face value when they say, hey, we're here to deliver Amazon. Here's the address we're going to. Again, per our RMA policy, the gate officer will log it in and go forward. We don't call the person ahead of time, say, hey, there's Amazon coming. But the other issue is what she didn't know. And I always knew this, but I guess a lot of people did not know that Amazon drivers do not have big blue vans all the time that say Amazon. Say about half their delivery people are people, students, people, housewives, they drive their own cars. So that kind of complicates it a little bit where this resident felt like these people shouldn't be driving their own cars in our neighborhoods. And what had happened with this a resident is that she saw a vehicle deliver Amazon in their own personal car. But then after making the delivery, this person went and used what I call honey bucket. I don't know what they're called out here on the construction sites. They're restrooms that are, I think they're called
porta potties.
Porta potties, honey buckets. And she just thought that was just outrageous that this person was in our neighborhood, delivering packages in their own vehicles, and then using the porta potty afterwards. And that's kind of where it led, where she called, and she was very upset, and she's contacting RMA. But again, we follow the RMA rules, and that's what's required. There's other things we can do, and I've shared this with our gate officers. Most delivery people have an app on their phone that shows where they're going, and that they're Amazon or food delivery people.
What about Uber?
All those, yeah, mm-hmm, sure. So those are little thing tips that we can tell them to look for. But as a whole, that's what the policy says to do. And it's no different than when people just show up at the gate and say, hey, I want to go to the golf course for lunch. And we just let them in because that's their policy. Or there's nothing that says we can't do that. Or they'll say, hey, I want to buy something from the pro shop. We just let them in. I'm here to pick up my kid for Bulldog or a sporting event. We just let them in. So it's really no different. And in fact, we do a little bit more with delivery drivers because we take the plate number and we connect it to RMA. So those are the issues we spoke with RMA. And yeah, there's a little more things we can do. Sure, we can look at their, but there's no ID that says they're Amazon drivers or whatnot. So those are the issues. And once again, we're following procedures, but then a lot of committee members are not happy with that. And they'll blame CSD for the RMA rules that we're implementing. And that goes with the boat, that they just had a boat policy change where our gate officers turned a couple boats away and it has not gone well. I mean, we've followed our procedure, but with the newness of the law or the rule change, the residents aren't happy about that. So we had some verbal hostility at our gates. But once again, our guys were professional, and it's a no-win situation sometimes. But we are following RMA procedures in every case. So those are the issues that came up, and maybe there's a little bit of tweaking for both sides. There's nothing that prevents us from, you know, if an underage person calls in and we suspect that there's something funny going on, there's nothing that says we can't try to call the parent. But a lot of times we don't have time to do that kind of stuff. It's a very busy gate. But so sure, both sides, we're tweaking. We can do a little bit of tweaking and training. So those are the big issues that we brought up with RMA. If there's no questions, I'll move on.
A couple of things or thoughts, Kelly. The boat issue, it's one of those that comes around every several years. So I get why they updated it. If it's not completely clear with the community, RMA owns the messaging, but I think that's a separate issue that probably at the GM and board level, that needs to be addressed, if you will. And then the other is, as far as the Amazon, and I understood exactly what the honey bucket was. I got a chuckle out of it. It's been a while since I've heard that term, but we have folks that come into the community that provide services, whether it's a contractor, cleaning, what have you, and they use our restroom facilities. So that's been going on since, I've been here since 91. So there hasn't been huge issues. And I guess I would have to go back and ask, is there a trend with these Amazon drivers, either in their personal cars or otherwise? Because historically, they're going to give one address and go to multiple addresses in the community. So we're back to whatever address they give, who's responsible for it. And that's a never ending question that RMA has difficult time answering. And I understand that. So I would just be, instead of isolated issues, looking at the trends that we're seeing. I would think people would complain the hours that the Amazon folks come in, but again, it hasn't been an issue. So I just made a note on the messaging part as we move forward with rule changes that I'm going to follow up with RGM, and that'll be a to-do with RMA. Thank you.
Go ahead.
I have a hand raised. Do you want to save questions for the end, or you want to?
No, we can take them now.
Very good. Thank you. John Sullivan.
Thank you, Amelia. Mr. Chairman and Kelly, is there a limit or a budget number of hours that CSD does non-ARC rule enforcement with RMA per month?
There is an agreement, Mr. Sullivan, and I, off the top of my head, I don't know what those exact hours are per month, or what that, when that contract was dated. I know it was dated somewhere in the 1900s, but I don't know if it's been updated. So there is that. I'll have to get to you offline on that.
Mike just went out. I have that copy. It was in 2000, our agreement with RMA for enforcement. I think it talks about 5 hours for at night between for parking enforcement, but he's going to get it right now. And I have it right here. Yeah.
Yeah. I believe it's for 10 hours a month.
Right. It says maximum 5 hours per month. We get some, we get a little bit of a stipend for it. But then it also talks about, I think it's 35 an hour, that's what it says here. And then it says we shall maintain the gates and do security. But yeah, it hasn't been updated in 2000. And that's one of the things we're going to look at in the museum, and I, with Kevin, we're going to talk about that and meet with. That's one of the things we wanted to meet about with you, Tim, later on after the lecture.
No, understand. Thank you. Does that answer your question, John?
Yeah, I was perusing the older documents as well that go back into the 90s. But yeah, that was my question, was what the budgeted number of hours that we are spending. And then obviously $35 an hour isn't the updated loaded rate. So I thank you for having that available.
All right. And I can say we do way more than that, enforcement and citations. So yeah, it definitely does need to be upgraded, and that's on our agenda for after the election. Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on, other Rancho Murrieta Association activities. I met with the director or the manager of the village. They're content with their services. They had no issue. I also dropped in and did a follow-up with Ace Hardware owner. They were having those issues with the shoplifting. She was content with our services and had no issues. There was an issue, and I shared with I don't know if I shared that. I know I shared this with the email. Our officers are being approached by a person claiming to be the owner of the airport and stating that he doesn't want security patrols during the day. He only wants them at night. I have not heard from this person. I have not received anything in writing from this person. Upon receiving something in writing or something formally from this person saying that they're the owner, I've directed our staff to continue the patrols during the day until I hear further. So that's something that was kind of new, and a couple of our officers have been approached. But as far as I'm my understanding is we provide patrol 24/7 to all of our properties. So until I hear further, that's how I intend to go forward, Tim, unless you say differently.
Nope. I got your email on it. You're correct in your thought process. So thank you. Continue on.
If we move on to the next slide.
Would you like to take another question now?
Oh, another question. Go ahead.
Are you prepared? Tim?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, two things. First, back on John Sullivan's question about the hours of enforcement of RMA's CCNRs. If you look at the security logs, you can tell that we very far exceeds the 10 hours. And, you know, I don't know why we're paying to enforce RMA's CCNRs, but I just wanted to update that and like Kelly acknowledged that. Second question is for Kelly. Under this category, met with Amy at the Village, Ace Hardwick. And that's under the category of other Rancho Murrieta Association activities. Are you aware that those have nothing to do with the Rancho Murrieta Association?
Oh, it's just a typo. The category that's continued on for the prior memorandum. So yeah, it's just nothing was met by it.
Yeah. Could you please fix that typo? Yes, because that's been going on month after month, and I want to make sure. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I promise.
Okay.
Cut to the next.
Okay. Here we go.
And there's our monthly statistics, and as you can see, speeding, we're quite a bit up. We're speeding. Our stop signs are up. Violations are up, and our off leash is increased. And I think our parking citations were average. I think they're a little bit down from last month. About the same 12.
Oh, pets off leash.
Pets off leash. Okay. But clearly, if you add up all our hours, yes, we're doing more enforcement than the 5 hours. All right, and the next one. Gate entry is about the same. Gate denials, you'll see we're down. The biggest violator is the vendors trying to come in too early to start their construction. But we think the word's getting out there now because last month we had 30, this month we're down to 20. So hopefully that number continues to go down. So our breakdown. Okay, and before we go into the instance of notes, I will say when I had a POSIS, I keep it very generic because I learn things might go. So by the next board meeting, I'll have more information to add. Right now, it's kind of generic. On Saturday, 10/22/22, at approximately 10:20 hours, CSD Patrol received a call for service of a theft burglary on Callaway Drive. The RP, or that's the reporting party, stated that a juvenile entered their house, took a backpack, and ran through the backyard towards Colbert Drive into the golf course. Staff arrived at RP's location. The RP stated that an unknown male juvenile wearing a red hoodie sweater with a black backpack came inside the house, brandished an object that appeared to be a black pistol, and demanded the backpack which contained $200. The juvenile then ran east through the backyard into the south golf course towards Colbert Drive. Sheriff's Department was notified to respond. While waiting for the sheriff to respond, a resident notified our dispatch center from the south that a male juvenile had offered $40 for a ride out of Rancho Murrieta. The resident denied that offer and contacted a CSD dispatch to relay that information to the sheriff. The sheriff eventually arrived on the scene and searched the area utilizing canine and drone resources. The juvenile was located at Greens Park, hiding in the bushes. The juvenile was taken to custody by sheriff without incident. The sheriff also located the backpack in the bushes with a toy firearm and recovered the currency. Now I do know a little bit more about the incident. We do know that this house.
I'm going to mute you, John. I think that then we'll unmute when we get to your question.
Okay. So this house was in the south, and we know that the father was out of town, and there was a house sitter watching the house. There was also a juvenile, the daughter, living at the house, and her cousin was about the same age, was also there that night. We know about 2:00 in the morning, the juvenile contacted our gate officers and said, "Hey, I'm having some friends come over. They're authorized to come in." our gate officer verified that the person was on the list and let the people in to the house. So we really don't know what happened between 10 o'clock at night, or I'm sorry, 2 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock in the morning, what changed in the relationship or what occurred during that time before the robbery had occurred.
So the daughter let the friend in and the friend was the robber.
Correct. So we don't understand all the details. The sheriff department said this case involves a juvenile. We're not telling you any information. So the information I've had obtained was from my own interviews and from what they were told by initial officers. So that's why it's a little generic. But we do know that because we did, the gates belong to us. We were able to research that. And I also actually came in on a Sunday and talked to the father. And the father says, he's very upset and says, what are you doing, CSD, letting kids have people come in at this hour of the time? It's your fault. You should be putting the blame on us. And that's why I spoke earlier that, hey, we're following the procedures. We're not de facto parents. We don't do those kind of things. But we will, we just follow the policy. So we hopefully we cleared that up with the father. But in the end, I'm going to give kudos to our patrol officer who immediately upon arrival, at the scene, he notified that, hey, this is a robbery. This is a real crime. Got the sheriff's department out there. Even with their delay, it took about a half hour for them to get out there. Our patrol officers went on aggressive patrol mode, which made the suspect continue to hide because he thought we were looking for him, which in fact we were. And that gave enough time for the sheriff resources to get there, which was able to, their canine was able to apprehend the suspect. And then there was another a suspect as well. I think it was an accomplice, and he was captured at the home later on, but he wasn't directly involved with the robbery, but he came in with the suspect at 2 o'clock in the morning. So that is what I know, but I would say good job to our patrol guys for keeping that all together. And that's all I have at this time on that issue. Is there any questions?
Kelly, yes, please pass on. Thank you. I guess my first question is, how did the caller relay the information to the south gate? And my point being that if it's a robbery or something in progress, that I don't know if we should be taking the information or immediately direct them over to 911 and get the law enforcement agency started.
And that's why I put in the top paragraph, it was a theft or burglary. And a lot of times with theft or burglaries, we get those all the time, the suspect's long gone. It's a cold right. Burglary. Or whatever. So that's what the officer responding thought he was going to. And then that time talking to the house sitter, he realized, oh, well, he brandished a gun. This is a lot more serious. Get the sheriffs out here. And he immediately did that to start patrolling. And so that's how it came down. And it's very common for our guys to go to these thefts or burglaries that are, you know, the suspect's never there. And I think that just wasn't relayed to the dispatch center.
No, understand. And that's very common when we're dealing with 911 calls. I understand that completely, as you do. How did they come in? Was it a Uber, Lyft?
Correct. It was one of those rideshare programs, and they came in through the south gate, and they were.
So again, it's one of those. It's a difficult one to monitor because am I a Uber driver going to pick somebody up, take them to the airport? Or am I bringing somebody in that's a guest and I'm going to their house?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's going to be one of these. Is this a one-off? Is there a trend? Those types of things, because I don't want to do knee-jerk reaction. Obviously, I'm trying to go through my memory banks. When we had a couple of guests come in at 2 a.m. that were juveniles that did something like this. On the other hand, this is society and we are going to see more of society in this community. So are we prepared for it through the association and CSD? That's going to be the bigger question here.
I can add to it a little bit too, a little bit of follow-up here. So our gate officers, of course, knows about this house and knows to kind of be aware. The father actually went to the south gate and put the notes on saying, hey, I will be the only one that's allowed to let vendors in and to do that. So he did put those notes on now we follow that. So we had another incident on 11-1.
Same house. Did for yesterday.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Day before yesterday, we had, because our officers are aware of this now, we had an Uber driver heading to that same residence. And there was nobody in the vehicle this time, just that the Uber wanted into this address. And so our officer called the address, and a female answered. We assumed the same one, and said, yeah, let the person in. Normally that we would have done that, would not violate the policy. But because we knew of the history from a week ago or a week and a half ago, the officer called the father, and the father said, absolutely do not let that person in. Okay. So the Uber driver waited at the gate for like an hour. The Uber driver told our gate officer, hey, this person's going to walk to the gate. Our officer said, fine, you can wait outside. And so the Uber officer waited about an hour. And then when no one showed, it took off. But the interesting thing is, while he's making his phone calls before he actually called the father, the gate officer got another call from another female saying, oh, I'm the father, let him in. The gate officer said, okay, what's going on here? But the gate officer did a good job. At one point, we're not gonna become de facto parents. We're not gonna be doing this lookout and all this kind of stuff for every, the gate officers can't be used as an additional parent, you know, because at that point we're stepping outside of our scope of authority of letting people in and out. So that's what just happened as a follow-up, kind of the complexity that they do and the trickery. And this time we were able to follow everything. It was slow and do the right thing. But on a day-to-day basis, we can't be on top of everybody with their tricks and how to get into it. So Tim, that's just another example. And it just has happened the other day.
No, very good. And again, this is that part where it's a ever vexing type of scenario. And staff did their due diligence. I'm sure the father appreciated it. And so that's our goal, right? And so I'll take these victories where we can get them. So thank you, Kelly. Continue on.
And that's all I have, unless there's any questions.
I do have a question. Are you prepared for questions again?
Please.
John Sullivan.
This isn't about the incident. This is about the comment about the opening hours. Rancho North Association has different rules as to hours. We stick with the 7 a.m. On normal situations. We try to let everybody know that if there's a 110 degree day and concrete trucks need to start before 7 in the morning to complete a foundation or complete a slab or whatever, that we will notify everybody that we would have an earlier start time. But we do not have restrictions on the day after Thanksgiving, or if the day after Thanksgiving or the day after Christmas end up being a Friday or a Monday. We don't have those restrictions on construction. The day, Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, but not the days after. Certain trades have swapped Veterans Day for the day after Thanksgiving, but other trades have not. So you may not get operating engineers working the day after Thanksgiving, but you may get carpenters wanting to work the day after Thanksgiving or laborers. So since we're getting into the holiday season and there's those signs up there, those only apply to the RMA on the day after Thanksgiving or the day after Christmas, not Rancho North. Just want to make sure that we get that word out. We have a Rancho North annual meeting tonight, and the non-ARC rules between us and RMA are being discussed. So I might have an update on that within the next few days that I would be happy to memo everybody on. Thank you.
John, that's great information. I wasn't aware of that myself. So what we might do is I'll have staff follow up with you because we are coming into the holiday season, specifically Thanksgiving being the closest. And yeah, we can get the word to the gate staff that's working that holiday. I just made a note of it, but thank you for that. Go ahead, Kelly. Continue on, please.
That's all I have, sir.
Very good. Thank you. Item number five, review security department surveillance camera strategy. I know that Tom and I've had conversation, and I don't know if Tom's on the call here, but John, I know you had a question, so I'll take your question first.
And then I have a tiny update.
I was remiss when I talked to Tom previously on the security for Murrieta Gardens at basically the entrance that comes off Jackson Road, and then also the entrance behind the hotel. And we have no problem with those cameras going in. Obviously, that's an enhancement. But he asked about an antenna, and I think I was remiss in not asking for the specification. I should have probed a little deeper. I don't know how that camera observation would be recorded, or whether that is an antenna that acts like a repeater and goes somewhere else. And so I asked Tony Velez in my office and Greenfield to get together and make sure that we can do what the district wants done, somehow figure that out. But I probably didn't ask the right questions when Tom asked me about getting those cameras up. But if I'm assuming that the reason that the hotel is valuable in that regard is because it's 60 feet in the air, right?
Correct. So
it's the antenna is gonna go further. And if it's just a repeater, I don't think that's a problem, but conversation, I think Tony was asking me whether the recording device or the recording devices would go into our equipment room. And my understanding from, you know, is not as detailed as his, but I think we already have recording equipment that separates the public space from the private space. But be that as it may, we're happy to get together, huddle up, so you don't get delayed on doing that.
Perfect. Thank you. I did see an email from Tony, I think yesterday, that I was CC'd on. So yeah, we're ready to move on it, and all the recording equipment would work its way back to the south gate, where we'll keep it in our system. And again, what we're looking at doing is just it's a force multiplier having these cameras, right? Kelly's been very successful in getting the information and forwarding it either to the California Highway Patrol or the Sheriff's Department. And so this is just one of those cases where we have the funds, we just need to move forward with it. So no worries on that. I'll follow up with Tom Henning either later today or tomorrow to see where we're at with Tony and following up that process. Thank you.
And then I wanted to add, the contract has been approved and it's back over with the vendor. And Tom asked me to mention that we're in the final stage and we're meeting with, of course, John and the hotel to collaborate on a solution to communicate the camera to the south gate for viewing and reviewing the surveillance video. So it sounds like the antenna is going to just send the information over to the south gate.
Right. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if everybody is aware, but when we installed the security system at the hotel, there are private cameras and then there's public area cameras. And those cameras that are viewing like the parking lot or the park or the outside public areas go to record on one part of the recording equipment, and the private, you know, the in what's inside the hotel is recorded separately. So there is, if you're talking about two additional cameras, the question would be, can the public side, which the district has access to, if there's an incident, be used to record those and then just stream them to the South Gate? So just another item to discuss when we get together. Thanks.
No, I understand what you're stating, John. I made note of it. And so we'll just get that figured out once once we meet up on this issue. Amelia, very good then. I know that the POs are ready to go out for the two cameras set up for the gardens. So Tom's aware of it. So he'll give us the go ahead once we confirm that we can use the antenna and then what type of cameras we're going to purchase. So, okay, I understand item five then. Item six, I think we had a little bit of that information already. Is there any more to add?
No, sir.
Okay. Item number seven. Kelly, a question for you. Where is RMA on the issue of the RMA signs being taken off of multiple residents earlier this month?
I'm kind of clueless. I have not heard anything on that matter or topic. Not from okay. the meeting yesterday, but I can meet with our call, Chris or Tina.
If you would, numerous RMA signs were taken. And historically, it's happened once or twice before, but not to this magnitude. Some were found at a individual residence. Others were found down by the green on the south in the weeds. So if you would follow up with RMA formally to figure out, because I know I was told they were conducting the interviews and those types of things. And this is kind of one of those things, and we'll know more next week, but just really, when an issue comes about, how do we keep both sides informed? And what are those processes? Because I know, for example, some of the graffiti, RMA moved forward on it very quickly with the information you provided with them. And they did all of the follow-up with the parents and the juveniles. So again, it's just kind of one of those making sure we're in our lane, but we understand what's going on and we're updated when the other, in this case, RMA, is doing something specific to, in this case, the signs being stolen. Okay, I'm just going through my notes here. Give me 1 second, Amelia.
Take your time.
Okay, any comments or suggestions from staff? Okay, not hearing any. Kelly, I did get your email the other day about a meeting next week. I'm looking at my calendar and I'll reach out to you and Michael to see if we can set something up and go from there. Amelia, do you have any hands or questions?
I don't.
Okay. With that being said, Kelly, again, thank your staff. The customer service is getting to a point where it's consistent, it's professional. It's taken us a while to get there, For that, I thank you and the staff for that. So with that said, I'm going to make a motion to adjourn, and everyone have a good day.
Thanks, Tim. Thank you.